Welcome to Cavotec Q1 Report 2023. For the first part of the conference call, the participants will be in listen-only mode. During the questions and answer session, participants are able to ask questions by dialing star five on their telephone keypad. Now I will hand the conference over to CEO David Pagels. Please go ahead.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to this webcast. My name is David Pagels, and I'm the CEO of Cavotec. With me, I have our CFO, Glenn Withers, and also Joakim Wahlquist, who, as was announced March 8th, has been appointed as Chief Financial Officer of the Cavotec Group effective 1st of May. Joakim joined us already in March 8th and as a CFO designate and will replace Glenn Withers. However, today, Glenn and I will present Cavotec's Q1 report, but also Joakim will be available for questions after the presentations. You are then most welcome to ask questions by clicking on the link at the bottom of your screen over the phone, as instructed before, and we will see all the questions on our screen. We will today first present the financial and operational highlights of the quarter, and thereafter give you a financial update, followed by a summary of the quarter and way forward, and to finish off with the Q&As. In the first quarter, we reported revenues of 39.5 million euros, up 44% compared to the last year. The order backlog grew slightly in the quarter to around 150 million euro, up 20% compared to last year. Although we started to generate a positive EBIT of 0.3 million euro on the increased volume, there is still much to do. We will go more into detail later on in the presentation. Operating cash flow was negative, but that during the period, but that Glenn will come to later on. In February, we carried out a direct rights issue, raising proceeds of approximately 165 million SEK, which was approved at an extraordinary general meeting in March. This will increase our financial flexibility to support the execution on our strong order backlog and strengthen our financial position. Having said that, cost consciousness is and will be important part of our journey to increase our profitability. However, in order to become more profitable, we need to grow. It is encouraging that for the past two quarters, we have proven our ability to deliver on our order book, while at the same time continuing to sign new orders at a good pace. Although we started to generate a positive EBIT of 0.3 million euro on the increased volume, there is still much to do. We saw losses in the second half of 2022 coming from lower margins and higher fixed cost. We're working with full focus to drive more profitability out of our order book. Step by step, we will see the benefits of changes that we already made in the past few months. It's take time to become evident in our profitability for several reasons. First, in our Ports & Maritime division, we took orders some time ago that we did not foresee the supply, but we did not foresee at the time the supply chain disruptions and extraordinary inflationary environment that we had during 2022. It will take some time for this impact to unwind due to the long delivery schedules with several orders for shore power connected to new ship builds. However, the long schedule represents an opportunity to find ways to offset the higher cost than planned in these orders with optimization of the projects, and we are actively working on this. Secondly, last year, like most companies, we had to increase our list prices to counter the impact of higher cost. Similar to what I said before, it will take some time to see the effect of that. With this in mind, we will see a steady improvement in the profitability during the coming year. Ports & Maritime order backlog increased slightly compared to the previous quarter to 120 million euro, 23% up compared to the same period previous year. The increase was mainly driven by a strong order intake for shore power and motorized cable reel orders, predominantly in Asia. Revenue almost doubled to 123.5 million euro, mainly explained by a strong increase in revenues for shore power, motorized cable reels, MoorMaster products in the Nordics, China, and Southeast Asia. Industry's order backlog decreased slightly compared to the previous quarter to 29.3 million, but was up 8% compared to last year. Regarding the decrease in this quarter, I do not see this at all as a trend, as a main contributor, because the main contribution was really that we had a high order intake during December last year, followed by a little bit of a slower start in the first quarter. Revenue, however, increased 5.5% to 15.9 million compared to the same period of last year. With that said, I will now hand over to Glenn to go a little bit more into the financials in details.
Thank you, David, and good morning, everybody. First, I'd just like to start with a short explanation about the financials as presented in the Q1 report. As this is the first report for the year after the divestment of the airports business last year, for those of you that have followed us in the past. The main thing to know for the Q1 report is that we're now reporting in the two segments, which David has already discussed in his summary, meaning ports and maritime and industry. So I'd just like to point out that is the first time you see that in our quarterly reporting. And finally, on that topic, you'll also see in the comparative numbers as presented in the Q1 report also that the airports division is showing in those comparatives as a discontinued business unit. You won't see that at all in the current year numbers, though. Okay, but then moving to the content on the slide and just starting with order backlog, you can see that it's remaining steady, meaning that we have been reporting extra growth, especially in Q4 and in Q1 compared to the prior year, but keeping steady the order backlog in the reporting. Ports and Maritime, as David said before, is slightly up, about 3% compared to the previous quarter, and also to just to emphasise that it's really been driven by a strong order intake on the shore power side, and also for cable reel orders, especially in Asia. We've also, just developing on that shore power market. We've seen a lot of on-ship shore power solutions, which come from both new builds and increasingly existing container vessels where retrofits are done. Industry's order backlog was a little bit down compared to the previous quarter, but up compared to the comparative period the prior year. And we're not concerned about that decrease in the current quarter, mainly because we saw some pre-buy effect, as David said, especially from our larger OEMs, towards the end of the fourth quarter last year, and we did implement price increases effective 1 January in the business, and there may have been some pre-buy ahead of that. The lull in orders was especially evident in January and more strong towards the end of the quarter, and that effect has been a common effect in this business in the 4 or 5 years that I've been the group CFO. Then just turning to revenue, we've continued to demonstrate, again emphasising what David said, our ability to deliver on the stronger order book, meaning that conversion, especially in the first quarter of this year, has developed in a good way, and maybe boosted a bit by the fact that last year, especially Q1 and Q2, were affected by the closure of our Shanghai operations for a few weeks, common to a lot of businesses that were operating in China last year. That's one of the reasons why we're reporting that ports and maritimes increased or basically nearly doubled to that 24 million euros compared to the same period last year. And that's evident in the blue box. We've also seen a continuing high level of activity from customers across Europe, looking to prepare their ports in advance of basically legislation that requires changes to the way the vessels are connecting when they're in ports. There's increasing number of port authorities, terminal operators, and shipping lines across the world that we see investing in shore power to increase the sustainability, even if it wasn't with that regulatory pressure that also requires them to do so, with some pretty fast timelines coming or looming now for those regulations. In industry, the revenue was up almost 6%. But we saw that timing of larger OEM customers affecting the revenue inside the quarter, and expect that to pick up in the quarter ahead. Then if I turn to profitability, I think it's evident in this chart, without focusing on the words, that this is the first quarter since 21 that we've been able to show at least a break-even, or just slightly above break-even profit here, which is pleasing compared to the history of the last few quarters, which were mainly impacted by the closure of Shanghai in the first part of last year, and then the impact of extra costs and inflation coming through the back end of the year. So it's pleasing that we've been able to, with pretty strong cost control and management, to turn it into a profit now. On the other hand, we did continue to use cash from an operating perspective. A good deal of that cash usage is due to the growth, but it's more than we would like it to be. And inventory levels continued to be up at the end of Q1, about 1.4 million compared to the end of last year. Our receivables did come down. We had a very, very strong revenue in Q4 last year, especially in December, meaning that the cash from that invoicing really came into Q1. So that's why you see the receivables and our contract assets have decreased about 4 million during the quarter, but that's been offset on the other side by a reduction in our payables and contract liabilities for customer contracts of about 6 million. Cash from financing activities during the quarter was 10 million positive, and that's predominantly due to the equity increase that David discussed earlier. But and then partially offset that equity increase, bringing in about 15 million euros or close to it, but was partly offset by the repayment of our revolving credit facility. So we paid down some temporarily paid down some debt with those funds, and then during the quarter we paid our normal lease payments, which has resulted in that net movement of 10 million. We did finish the balance, finish the quarter, sorry, with a fairly high cash balance of around 16 million. I don't expect to have that sort of high cash balance at the end of Q2. And then, to summarize an update on a couple of other topics, David already covered in the beginning of his presentation that we carried out a directed issue and in February issued 12.4 million shares with a subscription price set in the book building process of 13.25 per share, and that resulted in 165 million approximately in cash proceeds which came into the business. and that came in at the end of the quarter. The subscription price that I mentioned before of 13.25 was determined through an accelerated book building procedure, and that was conducted by SEB here in Sweden. There was also, I think, worth mentioning that equity raise shows that we do have good support from our owners, and it was an important raise in order to support our ability to deliver on the strong order book that I talked about before, but also to continue to grow revenues. During the quarter, we also reported, and it's not new in this report, it was also in our Q4 report, but we did amend the terms of our credit facility agreement and improve the conditions for the remainder of the term of the facility, which goes or runs until June 2025. And then just to finish off from my side here, as David also mentioned in his opening remarks, this is my last presentation for Carbotech here for the quarterly reporting process. I've decided to leave Carbotech for family reasons, and I do want to emphasize that it was a difficult decision for me to make. But I have to say, Joachim's sitting next to me here, and we've been working together now for the last couple of months, and I've never myself experienced a handover done this way, but I'm very confident now that we've been working together side by side, together with David and the rest of the team, that I'm leaving the business in very, very good and capable hands, and it does make the task of leaving it that little bit easier for me. Joachim will take over the pen from me on the 1st of May. And Joachim, I wish you all the best with taking over the role on that date. And with that, I'd like to hand back to you, David.
Thank you, Glenn. So in summary, we saw a strong revenue growth and demand for Carbotech solutions also in the first quarter, but a weak profitability, not what we would have liked to see. It is, however, very satisfying to see that we are making progress towards turning Carbotech into a profitable as well as growing company. I will continue to spend most of my time meeting customers and colleagues around the world, and everywhere I see a strong demand for our products. I was in Asia, Singapore, and China last couple of weeks, and I see a strong interest in our products and also a very good cooperation and relationship to our customers and also our end users. We are confident about our future. We are in the right place to leverage on the technological shift to a sustainable electrical solutions. And I'm convinced that we can get the company back on the right track again and generate stable growing profitability. So with that said, that concludes our presentation, and then we'll open up for questions.
If you wish to ask a question, please dial star 5 on your telephone keypad to enter the queue. If you wish to withdraw your question, please dial star 5 again on your telephone keypad. The next question comes from Karl Bokvist from ABG Sundal Collier. Please go ahead.
Thank you, and good day to you both, or to you all, I should say. My first one is just on, you mentioned a continued good demand here, but did you notice anything materially changing towards the end of a quarter? I believe you said something about, March was stronger than January in seasonality terms, but if there was anything else to highlight in terms of demand?
Good morning, Carl. I think overall, yes, I mentioned in my summary that the end of the quarter was stronger than the beginning of the quarter, but that that's very common, common and nothing to do at all, I think, with any kind of market trend. It's just a strong order book development towards the end of the quarter, followed by a lull in January, a New Year hangover or whatever, and then as we come out, February gets better and March gets better again. It also happens the order book, it happens with our revenue as well, exactly the same way. So that's the first answer to the question, just timing inside the quarter, but normal timing and no trend to see from that. But overall, the purchase signals continue to be strong on our flow business, meaning that we're seeing steady-ish level of flow business going on. And then, as you know, Carly, the overall order book for the quarter, any individual quarter depends on any larger sort of like ports and maritime style projects such as a MoorMaster sale. And that can affect one quarter looking good or not good because of the size of those deals, as you've experienced before.
Understood. And then now that you are converting a bit more from the backlog, considering also seasonality here, but you're starting the quarter now with roughly 40 million euro in sales, how should we think about the ramp up in deliveries for the rest of the year, perhaps mainly from Q2 and onwards? But I would imagine you have both seasonality and the backlog helping you, helping you grow sequentially at least.
I think we're confident that the progress during the year, it will be increasing sales as well as the increasing order intake over the year, over the quarters to come for the remaining part of the year. We see strong interest from our customers, a lot of activity on the tender side, as well as we also in our order book have planned for and also scheduled an increase in the revenue over the quarters to come. So I'm confident there. I'm not worried really about the order intake, even if, exactly as Glenn said, it shifts a little bit from one month to another month. At the same time, the big orders come in, and sometimes it flips over from one quarter to another quarter. But in general, we don't see any kind of shrinking interest or shrinking horizon of our order intake and sales activities.
Mm. Understood. And on the one part on the backlog and then a bit on the future here, but can you shed some more light on the timing of these, let's call them low margin projects, when they are mainly to be delivered? Is it mainly during the first half of this year that we will see a clear negative impact, or how long should we expect it? And the follow-up is also on kind of new orders. What measures have you taken to avoid this kind of price versus cost gap going forward?
I'll take the first part of the question and then perhaps hand over to David on the second part of the question, what are we doing about it? But first, in relation to the existing order book, as we've reported, that there is, we did get hit by having orders that were signed at one price, but then saw cost inflation and supply chain disruption, which boosted the cost compared to what we had planned, meaning that the margin impact in those orders is not as good as we would have liked or had planned at the start. Your specific question was about the timing of the unwind of that. Thinking about those orders, unwinds over almost 2-year period. I don't mean to say that means that it would have a dampening effect on the margins overall in that 2-year period, but it ranges from coming in the next quarter all the way to a couple of years from this quarter. But the longer time frame also gives us a chance to optimize some of the costs in the way that we deliver those orders as well. So there's a way to mitigate that, but that's the specific answer to your timing question in relation to current orders. And then I'll just hand over to David to speak about how we're managing the order book. Have been managing it since he joined, and after that.
Yeah, I can explain a little bit what we're doing there and what we have done. And it's actually by the fact exactly spot on the day today, the same date that I was joined the company, 26th of April last year. And what we have done since is that we have tightened up, or we have put more focus into the dealer views, what we're doing in order to gathering the myself and also my management team, and also helping all the both divisions in order to increase and having better focus on the deals that we take. So I'm confident that the order intake that we take now is at a better level than the order intake that was done 1 year back. Having that said, of course, we also have a much stronger focus now on the cost side of the business. Of course, our internal costs, what can we do? What can we do in order to improve? Whatever we do today, we need to do it smarter, better and quicker and more cost efficient tomorrow. But on top of that, also extra focus on sourcing activities. Sourcing hasn't been the it's definitely an area where we can improve and where we need to be better. And we already started up sourcing activities so that we have dual sourcing and also sourcing from best country sourcing activities. So that is also something which we have started up, and I'm confident that we'll see the effect in the profitability in the orders that we have in hand, but also in the orders that we're going to take going forward.
Understood. And then I have two more questions, and the first one is on segment profitability. Based on the numbers you report, at least it looks like Ports and Maritime is turning things around, is now reporting a profit on an EBITDA level, whereas Industry seems to have gone down from a very high double digit margin to more like a high single digit margin. So if possible, if you could just explain a bit of the dynamics here behind the two divisions.
If I take that question, Carl, first, talking about Ports and Maritime, it is pleasing to see that that development in the profitability. Definitely from page 6 of our report, the segmental analysis, you can see that we are now above the sort of the break-even line, and that's developing well. The Industry business, on the other hand, did experience some cost impacts in the second half of last year, which meant that their margins overall were less than we would like, and in part probably the price increases that we did last year and the price list management came perhaps to a bit slower than we could have done, and maybe we didn't do enough fast enough. But by the time we get to the start of this year, I think that's stabilized, and meaning that we should start to see that improvement come through the invoicing that we do in the revenue. And as David mentioned a couple of times in his opening presentation, because of the time lag between adjusting prices and the price list, customers ordering against that price list, us making and delivering that, it takes a little time for that catch up that we did to be evident in the results. But slowly but surely, that should become evident over the next 2 or 3 quarters.
Understood. My final one is just on if you could just please clarify some remarks you made, Glenn, on working capital development throughout the year, if possible.
Yeah, well, first, David mentioned that when you asked about sort of the prospects for the next quarters on the top line, there is a continued build up in inventory, as I mentioned in my comments. About 1.4 million during the quarter, and that inventory build-up I see as a natural consequence of preparing for delivery in our order book and the timing of that. There's a couple of fairly large deliveries that took place either towards the end of the first quarter or taking place during the second quarter that were contributors to that contract assets and liabilities movement. First, receivables came down because of the high billing activity coming out of December last year. But we also had quite high billing in March of the first quarter, in line with what I said before, a standard development for us inside Q1, which should be collected in Q2. But on the other hand, we see additional volumes in Q2, and therefore I would expect still to see cash usage in Q2, actually, because of that, and then more stabilizing into the second half. In other words, that hopefully the main impact of the growth that we've seen coming, especially from Q4 last year into Q1 and then into Q2, stabilize a little bit, and I would expect to see an improved cash flow on a quarterly basis. I'm not making an annual comment there, coming in the second half.
Understood. That's all for me. Thank you.
There are no more questions from the telco at this time, so I hand the conference back to the speakers for written questions or closing comments.
I think what we should do, we have received a couple of questions.
Sorry, we have one more question. I'll let you one through.
The next question comes from Johan Yulof from JPC. Please go ahead.
Hello, David, Glenn and Joachim. I hope everything is well. Thank you very much for the presentation. And I think the clarity and breakdown between for the maritime and industry is a very good development in your reporting. I had just a very quick question in terms of your projections on the leverage ratio in terms of the balance sheet going forward. Have you set any objective in that regard?
We haven't set a first good morning, Johan. And short answer to your question, yeah, I think I mentioned it before. I think as a team, we've been working really well together, and generally things are going pretty well. I'll let David elaborate on that maybe a bit more after I finish the answer to the question. Leverage ratio, there's no specific target that we're announcing on that, other than to, of course, ensure that we are fully compliant with the leverage ratio. There will be we do expect a reduction from where we are. We reached a peak before the equity raise. The equity raise obviously helped us from an overall ratio point of view, but really the main issue in the ratio has been a lack of profit, which is evident in last year's results. And it's pleasing to get to a pretty decent positive EBITDA in Q1. And I think that development over time will mean that the sort of LTM calculation of the last 12 months will steadily improve. So I would expect you to, you know, to see and deliver a good development in that regard, coming from higher profitability compared to last year.
Thank you.
Take the questions there.
There are no more questions from the telco at this time, so I hand the conference back to the speakers for written questions or closing comments.
Okay, so we have a couple of questions which are submitted here on in text or written sent to us during the call. First of all, from Colleen, there, can you elaborate the legislation around ship shore power? Which markets have forcing legislation, and when do we expect this to be seen that in an increase in demand in the market? Take that part of the question first. We see legislations first on on extra where they actually the ships have to be on shore power. If they don't, if they are not, then all of a sudden they need to be pay high penalties on an hourly basis if they are not able to. We already have that in place on the west coast of the US. Not a big surprise. We see it also coming on the as a trend on the east east coast. We are just delivering. We are just processing now deliveries to Port of Miami for that exact reason. On top of that, we also see the same kind of trend blowing also in Asia or in China, that there will be push for and legislations. They're not really in place. And also we believe it's going to come also, it will come for sure, also in Europe. However, it's not only the legislation per se, it's also, should we say, it's also a trend that despite legislations and requirements from governments, there is a trend that ports want to be seen as more greener, or the shipping lines want to be seen as more greener. They want to turn off the diesel engines and the diesel generated power when they are in the ports. So it's in order to be able to really push for the individual sustainability agendas, of course. So legislation is coming. At the same time, it's also coming a trend where the legislation per se is driving a behavior which is also really in good favor for our products. So I don't know exactly when those are going to happen. European Union, it takes some time before decisions are implemented, but we're definitely clear that it will come. And already now we see local ports in Europe going ahead of the legislation anyway, because they want to drive this behavior. And in many cases, the ports, especially on the cruising ferries, etc., they are quite central in the cities, and therefore they really for it's also driven by the cities really putting pressure on the ports to implement them shore power solutions. The second part of your question there, Per, was then what do we see on the megawatt charging systems and what do we have there? We have already inform you that we are delivering on a big mining company in Australia. We have shipped the equipment down there. I was in Australia 4 weeks ago myself to meet with a customer, as well as also then seeing our goods delivered there. And more or less as we speak in this quarter, it will be shipped from where we have it stored today and being installed and commissioned into the mining site. And it's the first prototype of these megawatt charging solutions with an automatic, robot arm who actually sticks in the MCS connector into the mining truck. And they are a little bit of a pioneers in this. At the same time, it's a huge interest from the whole the entire mining industry, as well as of course the companies manufacturing the mining trucks, etc. So we are installing it and we are commissioning it right now. At the same time, we are also now having discussions with that same customer for the next step and how we will proceed there in order to because they have a very very strong agenda for driving towards sustainable solutions, and all the vehicles will be electrified, and they are really in the forefront versus the other mining companies. And I'm really satisfied that we are the one that they have decided to make this first prototype test installation with, and we are now working on what to continue after that. Then we have another question here. Regarding, can you disclose owners of the subscribed in the direct issue? What we did there is that since we did an accelerated book building, we decided to set the price of the shares slightly above the market price in order to avoid that people feel that they had no chance to participate. That was agreed together with SCB, the advisor there, as well as with and then we reached out, you could say more or less that we reached out to the top 5-6 biggest customers. Bure is a big, who's a majority shareholder, they took their portion. But also then I'm really pleased to also say that TOM Enterprise with the company of Thomas von Koch also increased his ownership in the company. So he took a bigger part of that as well, which we're really glad to see that we have trust from owners who are really owners in the past and also believe in us in the future. So that's where we are. But apart from that, it's more or less the 5, 6, 7 biggest owners were the one who increased their shares or took their share, the portion. Next, there is a question as well. Let me just scroll here a little bit. And then there is a question there regarding the difference between customers in Ports and Maritime division as well as customers for Industry division when it came to the rate of adoption to electrical solutions. I must say, of course, the shipping industry by nature, and we've discussed this before, everyone needs to follow the sustainable agenda. Everyone is driving towards that focus. But of course, for shipping lines, there are easier things to adapt to, such as shore power, than actually the real propulsion of the vessels. That is not so easy to solve. And in that case, they're working on solutions there, but it will take a longer time. But since they have to do as much as they can, where they can, then the shore power solutions is the quickest and easiest way to do it, and also the most obvious one to take. So therefore, we see strong demand in the Ports and Maritime side. Also, we see strong demand in the Ports and Maritime side for our MoorMaster solutions, where we actually have our automated mooring solutions in order to speed up the mooring. Speeding up of the mooring is, of course, to increase productivity, sure, but it also on ferry lines, etc., used in order to do actually run the ships at the slowest speed between one port or the other, where we talk about passenger ferries, etc. So it's not only about moving quicker, it's also moving slower in that case in order to be able to then reduce emissions and of course fuel consumptions. So Ports and Maritime, I see strong future demand due to legislation, due to other reasons as well, as I just mentioned. But in addition to that one, I see a similar strong growth on the industrial side, where the mining industry is really determined that something needs to be done. Mining industry in terms of mining trucks, but also mining industry in terms of electrifying the mining vehicles, such as underground mining equipment and so on, but also big reclaimers and stackers, etc., that they have on open mines, which also then they want to move away from any shape or form of diesel propulsion, and instead using electrifications there. It's not easy to say, but I see a really strong demand on both product divisions for those equipment and for the electrification agenda. And then also we have, I don't really see, I must say, I'm not sure if I'm going to see if one of the other divisions going to outperform each other. I see a strong demand on both, and we are gearing up our possibilities to execute orders on both divisions. At the same time, we don't have dedicated factories for one or the other divisions. We have more or less mixed production in our sites, and that's what we're going to continue to develop even further. Then I had another question here from Keller Independent about there should have for the industrial demand, if that was a decline during this Q1. I don't see it as a trend. I see it more as this is also, keep this in mind, we increased the prices a little bit versus some of the customers during Q4. Some of the customers were a little bit clever and placed a little bit more orders than they actually needed initially in order to be able to gain the lower prices. That's the way it works. So that we had a little bit of a boost in at the end of the Q4, resulting a little bit of a weaker in Q1. However, we have, as I mentioned, we have a strong order backlog on the order intake focus on the flow business, which is in the normal repetitive business. On top of that, we also have, such as this mining industry I just talked about in Australia, we have also then increasing very interesting product business, which is then more customized solutions for different applications. So I'm not worried about the trend in the order intake or in the pipeline that we have ahead of us in that case.
And then I think just continuing on from the with Keller's questions here, there's a question there about our EBITDA margin and free cash flow performance for going ahead here. Starting with the margin, the EBITDA, and developing from what David just said about the industry business as a specific example, we do expect to see improving margins going forward, but it takes time from those actions about managing price, managing cost to come through in the numbers and the margin. But what I would expect is a steady improvement in margins rather than some fast, hard increase in margins. So steadily quarterly development of that is what we're expecting at the moment based on that sort of lag in actions resulting in changes in profitability because of the timing of invoicing, timing of deliveries. And then that also then, of course, then given EBITDA is proxy for cash, it just takes a bit of time for that underlying cash profitability to come through in the cash flow as well, which is then combined with the growth that we've been having in revenue from that higher order book. So the guidance I gave to an earlier question that I think Carl had was that we still expect to see a usage of cash in operations in the second quarter before maybe a more stable cash flow performance in the second half. But that even that comment about stable in the second half really depends on any changes in the order book that affect delivery this year and preparing for those, which could also mean more growth, and if that came, then obviously maybe some more operating cash usage. That's my guidance at the moment.
Okay, so I don't see us having any other questions on the screen here, but I must say so thank you very much for your attention and listening here, and also interesting questions. At the same time, I think I hope I can share with you and that we have a really interesting future ahead of us. We are in the sweet spot in terms of electrification trends and supported agendas for different sustainability directions happening in the world. In that case, I'm really looking forward to continue the journey with Cavotec and driving the company to future success. Any comments, Glenn? That's it?
No, other than I'm sure you're looking forward to the next call, next quarter with Joachim by your side.
Yes, going to be there, but I'm sure you're going to dial in as well to listen to see, because I know you are very loyal and very, very attached to the company. So thank you very much for your attention and speak soon.